Paul is explaining the great claim that he made in chapter 2. So even though we're in chapter 3, we need to remember really the theme of the entire letter, the theme of this book, back in chapter 2, verse 16, where he states very dogmatically, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Of course, there is much that he was explaining leading up to that statement, and now he is looking back to that statement to explain it so that we all can understand the importance of that truth. And he's writing to believers. Of course, the Galatian churches, there were four main cities in the province of Galatia in which these churches were founded. But he's writing to believers who have already experienced that truth. Justification, salvation, redemption, by faith alone in Jesus Christ. But some of them were starting to wonder and even to question based on people that were coming in and sowing errors and discord among them. They were starting to wonder, is faith really enough? Is faith in Christ alone really all that is needed? Because people were coming in and saying, no, you've got to add something else to this. And so in the first five verses of this chapter, chapter 3, Paul asks some very important questions to get him thinking. Put your thinking caps on, Christian, and think about your own personal experience as a Christian. Think of all the blessings and all the benefits that you've received when you came to Christ. And ultimately, it hinges on this one question. Did you receive them by faith or by works? Did you receive them by the works of the law or simply by the hearing of faith? And that's what he ends with right there in verse 5. Again, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, did Jesus give you the Holy Spirit and does powerful things among you? Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith and faith alone? But Paul does not only appeal to their experience as Christians, but also, as we're going to explore here together today, he appeals to Scripture. The Bible itself as the basis of his claims, not by the works of the law. This is an important principle that we need to follow in our own lives. The Word of God is what we need to base our personal experience upon, rather than the other way around. Personal experience can be different with each person. And it can change so quickly and so easily. In fact, remember, Paul at the very beginning here of chapter 3, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He couldn't believe that they were already coming away from the clear presentation of the gospel that he had given them way back in Acts chapters 13 and 14. He was beside himself. He says, no, your personal experience is not the basis of your faith. Rather, the Scripture, the Word of God, is to be the basis of our faith. Because the Word of God will always stay the same. Remember Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. And so that's what he's doing later on here in chapter 3. Beginning in verse 6, Paul actually takes us back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. In order to explain once again that salvation and justification only comes through the hearing of faith. That's interesting because he could have gone back to any other passage, any other place in the Old Testament, but he chooses the very first book and really one of the greatest patriarchs to demonstrate that you cannot be justified, you cannot be saved from the works of the law, but only through faith in Christ. So the question I want us to focus on today is this, based on these verses. How do we know that salvation comes through the hearing of faith? Well, it's because of what the Bible tells us about the faith of Abraham. Now, Abraham was, according to the Jews, the greatest patriarch of the Old Testament. And for Paul to bring Abraham into this was to strike at the very heart of the Jewish identity. Because even the Jews' goal of making Gentiles live like Jews when they came to Christ was something that was altogether new. And so we read what the Bible says about Abraham in verses 6 through 9, which will be our text today. Again, Paul writes, even as Abraham believed God. Again, what's the question? Is it really by hearing of faith and that's it? Well, absolutely. Just like Abraham believed God, verse 6, and it was accounted, imputed to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same faith that Abraham has, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, he concludes, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now remember, the Jews, they love to identify themselves as the children of Abraham. They love to claim Abraham as their father because they took great pride in the fact that through the flesh, they actually had the seed of Abraham. They were the seed of Abraham. Well, Jesus even addressed this desire, this love, this pride in the Jews' lives in the Gospels. Remember in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9? Jesus even asked them, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Do you really think that you have Abraham as your father? He said, if you had Abraham as your father, you would do the works of Abraham. In fact, you would believe the way Abraham believed. But see, for many of the Jews still, having Abraham as their father, as part of their ancestry, was all the proof they needed that they had a relationship with the God of Abraham. And that was a source of great pride to them. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago about some of the different websites that you might go to learn about your ancestry. In fact, one of them is Ancestry.com. There's a site put out by the Mormons, Family Search, I believe it's called. And you can learn a lot about your ancestry. And one of the reasons why we picked Scotland and England and Ireland to go to here on our trip in a couple of days, we wanted to go because that's where our ancestry comes. Because you can trace it back, and it's very fascinating to do that. And each one of us has a different ancestry. Some people take great pride in where they come from. Some people take great pride of the heritage and the background. And the Jews were no different. They didn't have the websites that we have today, but they had genealogies that would list very carefully who their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers all the way down the line. And if they could look back and see Abraham as their father, that is all it took for them to say that they were God's children as well. That they were part of the family of God. And again, that was their source of great pride. But what Jesus told them, and what Paul is telling us, is that if Abraham is the greatest patriarch of the Old Testament, and that's what they believed, Abraham was the greatest patriarch, he says, then listen to what the Scriptures say about it. If you really think that having Abraham as your father is such a great thing, then listen to what the Bible says about him. Because the only way that you are the children of Abraham is if you have more things in common with him than just flesh and blood as your relationship. You see, the relationship that they need to have with Abraham and ultimately with God himself has nothing to do with flesh and blood. It has everything to do with faith. You may be related to Abraham, he's saying, but still not have the God of Abraham. Because you must share first and foremost the faith of Abraham. And that's exactly what he brings to our attention there in verse 6. The faith of Abraham. Even as Abraham believed God. You see, you say that Abraham is your father, then listen to what the Bible says about Abraham's faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. In this one verse, Paul actually takes us back all the way to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, to show that faith, once again, is the only way to have a right relationship with God. And this puts a nail in the coffin of what the Jews were thinking was the way they could have a right relationship with God. He says, it's not by the works of the law. It's not by the good works that you do. It's not by your ancestry. And it's certainly not by your own life before God. It's by faith alone. Faith alone. You see, what Paul was preaching and teaching to them was nothing new. And as we've attempted to explore in our Sunday school class over the last 7 or 8 weeks, is that the gospel is nothing new. It's the same gospel that is presented in the Old Testament, even in the book of Genesis, that is presented today. Sure, there's more light that has been shed on those things. But here, the gospel that Paul was preaching to the Galatian churches has always been what God required for men to come to him. It's faith. So he's saying to them and to us, if you want to have the same kind of relationship with God that Abraham did, then follow after the faith of Abraham. Don't just take it for granted that if you're related to him, then you have a right standing before God, because that's not the way it works. You've got to follow after the faith of Abraham, which we can see even in this one verse. We can see a lot about the faith of Abraham right here in verse 6, which really is a quote of Genesis 15:6. And it's interesting because Genesis 15:6 is quoted several other times as well in the New Testament as a living proof of what the gospel is all about. The first thing that we learn about the faith of Abraham in this verse is Abraham's great need. What was his need? Well, it says, if God counted to him for righteousness, what was he lacking? He was lacking righteousness. Abraham needed righteousness. So in and of himself, this Bible verse teaches that he was not righteous. Otherwise, this verse in the story of Abraham's life would be completely unnecessary and irrelevant. Paul wouldn't appeal to it. But the reason why he needed to be counted righteous was because he had no righteousness of his own. You see, even though people would claim Abraham as their father, the fact is Abraham was a man, just like we are. And as a man, he was a sinner, just like all men are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there was absolutely nothing he could do about it by himself. There was no law that Abraham could keep. There was no sacrifice Abraham could make that would give him the righteousness that he needed in order to stand before God. The fact is, we all share that same need as Abraham. A need for righteousness. But what else can we learn about this in this verse? We also see Abraham's great promise. What did God do when Abraham was still yet a sinner? God came to him, didn't he? God came to Abraham even when he was still in the Ur of the Chaldees. And he said, I want you to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees. In other passages of Scripture, we learn that Abraham and his parents were worshiping idols there in Ur. So God came to Abraham because Abraham could not go to God on his own. And in several places in Genesis, it says that the word of the Lord came to him. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Abraham. And so God spoke to Abraham, gave him his word, and promised Abraham many things. And so what did Abraham do with God's word? He listened. He would have first listened to it. He would have listened to God's word so that then he could believe God's word. Remember what Paul writes in Romans 10:17? He says, so then faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. God had to speak to Abraham, and God did speak to Abraham. And like Abraham, we too need to really listen and hear the word of God, because it is only in connection with the word of God that we then see Abraham's great faith. Abraham's great faith. After he heard God's words and God's promises to him, it says that Abraham believed God. Now, how could he believe God if God didn't speak to him? It had to come through hearing the word of God. Now, something is missing in this verse, in verse 6. And what's missing in this verse is very significant. Because the Jews and even some of the Gentiles were starting to think that they needed to add something else to their faith in order to be righteous before God. But what do you see there about the faith of Abraham? It's not the case with Abraham. It says very simply, he believed God. And of course, the word of God. Abraham believed God. Is there anything else added? No. So what is missing in that verse is very significant, because the promise that God gave to Abraham was all he needed to trust in and believe. You see, for anyone to have a relationship with God, they need to share in the simple faith of Abraham. Because then we see Abraham's great gift. What was the result of Abraham's faith? Again, in this verse, it says that it was accounted to him, it was imputed for him, for righteousness. Now, this does not mean that his faith was righteousness. Because faith is one thing. Righteousness is something different. Faith and righteousness are really two different things. But what did his faith give him? What did his faith lead him to? His faith led to him receiving a gift from God. And what was that gift? Righteousness. Faith and righteousness are not the same, but faith will lead you to the gift of righteousness, which we all need. I like what Matthew Henry writes about this verse. He says, his faith, Abraham's faith, fastened upon the word and promise of God, and upon his believing, he was owned and accepted by God as a righteous man. Was Abraham a righteous man in his own right? No. The righteousness that was imputed to him was the righteousness of someone else. It was, in fact, the righteousness of God, ultimately the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took the righteousness of God and he said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to place this on your account. I'm going to place it on your account, not just to bring you to an even keel with me, but rather to put you in a right standing with me. There's a lot of people think that, well, all I have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then what's going to happen is I'm at an even keel. And now I've got to do all those works to keep that relationship with God okay. Otherwise, I might lose that salvation. That's not what justification by faith is all about. When Jesus saves you, he saves you all the way. He doesn't just bring you to the point where now you have to do all these works in order to keep that salvation. No, he says, I'm going to take the righteousness of your Savior, put it on your account, and in God's sight, you are as righteous as Jesus, so that he has that same relationship with you. Because the Bible says, without holiness, you cannot see God. And so he accounts that to your account, and he gives that righteousness as a gift to you. And how did Abraham receive that gift? Was it through the works of the law? Well, we need to remember, first of all, the law wasn't given till Moses. All of those other things that many of the Jews would say that they had to keep in order to keep that relationship with God right. In fact, this promise and this gift was given to Abraham before he was ever circumcised. How did he receive this gift? Through the hearing of faith, and faith alone. What we learn from this is in order to be justified by God, we must share in the faith of Abraham. The same faith. We need to see our same need, hear the same word, believe the same promise, and receive the same gift. And before we move on, we need to make sure that this has happened in our own life. And I believe that's why Paul is writing this to the Galatians and says, you need to have this in your own life. Just like Abraham believed God and God accounted it to him for righteousness, you need to have that sure in your life. Because once you do, in verse 7, you will also share in the family of Abraham. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. In other words, if you have the same faith as Abraham, guess what? The same are the children of Abraham. There was a song I learned when I was a kid. It was a fun song. Some of you might have remembered it when you were a boy or girl. It's called Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Now, at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of meaning to the song for me as a kid. It was really meant to be more of an activity song. Remember, your right arm, your left arm, right foot, left foot, and all of those things. Why? Well, it was to get us all that energy expended so that we could sit down and listen to the lessons, to listen to the Word of God. So we'd sit still. The part of the song was this. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Now, as a kid, I didn't know what that meant. As I grew a little older, I thought, I'm not part of the children of Israel. I'm not a Jew. And I didn't fully understand it. But the more you think about that song, there's more truth to that song than I would have thought and than children would really think. Because remember the great claim of the Jew? We addressed it earlier. They would say, we have Abraham as our father. And that meant everything was okay in their relationship with God. But what did Jesus tell those Jews again? Matthew 3:9. He says, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Jesus said, that's not all that special. To have Abraham in your lineage and your ancestry, it's really not that big a deal, because God in His power could take these stones and make them into people and say, okay, they're now the children of Israel, the children of Abraham. But what Paul tells us is that through faith, anyone can have a greater confidence than even a Jew who says they're part of the family of Abraham. He says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Now that's a very interesting phrase, of faith. In fact, it's used three times in these verses. And it's describing the source of all the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ. It's of faith. It springs from faith. It flows from faith. And he says, I want you to know something about those people who are of faith. Now the phrase know ye can be seen in two senses. It can be seen as a command. Paul says, you need to know this about your faith in Christ. Or it could also be seen as a conclusion. He's making a big point about what has gone on before. Either way, as a command or as a conclusion, he says to us as Christians, you can have a greater confidence of your own salvation through faith than any other means. You see, the Jews would look at their works and say, this is evidence that I'm right with God. This is evidence that I have a right standing with God. But God says, you know, the greatest way that you can see that you are a child of God and ultimately part of the line of the faith of Abraham is through this faith. Faith in Christ alone. But not only can you have a greater confidence, but you can also have a greater claim. A greater claim than even the Jews themselves. He says, know ye, either as a command or a conclusion, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, those who have put their faith in Christ alone for salvation from their sin, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, to the Jews, that would have been a revolutionary statement. They would have been offended by this. Wait a second. Faith doesn't make you a child of Abraham. You've got to have him in your genes. You've got to have some kind of ancestry, some kind of chart to prove that you're part of his family. It's not about faith. But Paul says, no. The family of Abraham, and we see this not just here in the New Testament, but also in the Old, the family of Abraham is not primarily a relationship of flesh and blood. It's a relationship of faith. It's not primarily a relationship of nationality. It's a relationship of faith. You see, when God told Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 5, one of the great promises, he said, Abraham, I want you to look toward heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them. Have you ever been outside to look at the stars? It was a few weeks ago, and there was some information on the news saying that if you were to look at a certain time, you would see Mars and Jupiter and several other planets very brightly. And so my wife and I went out there, and I think we made the kids go out there too briefly. But we went out there to look and explore and to see what these were. And I don't know them by heart, so I had an app on my phone. And you could use the app and look into the different places in the sky and say, oh, there's Mars. Oh, there's Jupiter. Oh, there's Venus over there. And you could tell what these things were. But never once have I tried to stand out there and count how many stars are in the sky. Because to do so would be difficult, if not near impossible. Because, of course, with our naked eye, we can only see so many. You need a telescope, and then you see vast amounts, billions and billions of stars. And yet, listen to what God tells Abraham. He said, if you are able to number them, I want you to look at the stars. He said, so shall thy seed be. Do you realize that God was not describing in natural terms to Abraham? Or even in national terms? He wasn't just talking to Abraham about his seed, his physical seed that would come through him. God was speaking to Abraham primarily in spiritual terms. So the ones who believe as Abraham believed are part of his family, even are more the children of the promise than the Jews are. Why? Because they have the same faith. They have the same faith. And if you share in the faith of Abraham, the Bible teaches that you are part of his family. And you have a greater claim to being part of the Abrahamic family than anyone else who can trace him back in their ancestry. And the reason why is because our faith rests in the same foundation of Abraham's faith, which we find here in verse 8. Again, Paul again writes and talks about the Scripture. He says, and the Scriptures. Now, he's actually talking about the Old Testament. Not all the New Testament was written by this time. Galatians likely was one of the very first New Testament books written. So all we have now are the Old Testament Scriptures. And he says, the Scripture, foreseeing, looking forward, pointing to, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. What we need to realize is that the foundation of a Christian faith is the same foundation of Abraham's faith. It's the same thing. It rests in the Word of God, the Scriptures. Abraham's faith was not a blind faith. Sometimes people describe faith as a blind leap into the dark. They think, well, I'm just going to go out on faith, thinking that there's really no claim or no promise that they can hold on to. But that's not what true biblical faith is. True biblical faith, the faith of Abraham, the faith of a Christian, is a faith that rests on the sure foundation of the Word of God. Our faith can rest on God's Word because the Scripture, as we see from this verse, is something historical. It is historical. It's not something new or contrived. And that's what Paul's saying. What I've shared with you when I was with you, when I went from Antioch to Lystra to Derbe to Iconium and all those cities and towns in between, I wasn't coming up with something new. I was giving to you the gospel that was presented even before in the life of Abraham. And so we see that the Scripture is historical. It's not something new. It's not something contrived. It's something that we can go back to time and time again to see what God says. It's not going to change. But he also says that the Scripture is reliable. The word foreseen is a very important word because it shows that all that Paul was preaching and all that Paul was teaching can be found not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. It's just for some reason, our hearts and minds are often blind to what the Scriptures teach. We understand that the Bible says that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness unto him. And so we see that not just in Gentiles and Jews, but in all of us. We all have a hard time understanding the Scriptures apart from the work of the Spirit of God in our life. But when he opens our eyes and he opens our minds, we will see what the Scripture foresaw. We will see that the Scripture has pointed its way, the way to Christ, as the only way for hundreds and thousands of years, from the very beginning. But we also know that the Scripture is very clear about the gospel. The Scripture is very clear. The Bible shows that the gospel is not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentiles. He says that the Scripture foresaw that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith. This is something that God promised Abraham way back in Genesis 12:3. He says, I will bless them that bless thee, Abraham. I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that's not just talking about the Jew. That's talking about the Gentile, talking about the Greek, the Roman, the German, the Scot, the Asian, the Chinese. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. The Scripture's clear. The gospel is for everybody. And it was not just this way in the New Testament, but also in the Old. But we also see from this verse that the Scripture is consistent. He says, for the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel. That is all a translation of one Greek word, by the way. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now that phrase, preached before the gospel, does not mean that there was another gospel during the time of Abraham. It's not before the gospel. No, it was he preached the gospel before now. It's always been the same gospel. It's pro-evangelion. It's something that was preached before, even as it is now. It means it's the exact same gospel that I've been sharing to you. Justification by faith in Christ alone. In fact, Jesus affirms this in John 8:56 when he said, you think you have Abraham as your father? Who did he believe? Your father Abraham, Jesus said, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. Abraham knew something about Jesus. He may not have known the name. He may not have known all the ins and outs and all the things that we see going on in the Gospels. But he knew something about Christ. And he believed in Christ, that seed that would come eventually to crush that serpent's head. And our faith must rest on the same foundation as Abraham's, upon the Word of God and the promise of salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And do you realize that our faith can rest on God's Word? Because as we saw here in verse 8, it is historical, reliable, clear, consistent. And the foundation of God standeth sure. But then we come to verse 9 and we see that when our faith rests on the same foundation as Abraham's, we're also going to share the fellowship of Abraham. He concludes these verses and says, "So then they which be of faith," there's that statement again, that phrase, "they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now the Jews believed they were the ones that were blessed because they had Abraham as their father, their natural and national leader. But were they the only ones who could claim Abraham as their father? The Jews? No, not really. You might remember Abraham had another son named Ishmael. Of course, born of Hagar, which was Sarah's handmaid. It was not part of God's plan, not part of God's promise. But Ishmael could claim Abraham as his father rightfully. But do you realize Abraham had other sons as well? Not just Isaac, not just Ishmael. But in Genesis chapter 24, after Sarah passed away, we find Abraham marrying another woman by the name of Keturah. And with Keturah, he had 6 more sons. And each one of those sons could say that they had Abraham as their father. So even Jesus, it's not that big a deal to say that you have Abraham as your natural or national father. Of course, Isaac was the child promised by God. But Abraham loved his other sons as well. In fact, in Genesis 24, when it describes the other sons, it says that he gave them gifts. He gave them gifts and sent them away from the land of promise. But what was the inheritance that Abraham gave to Isaac and to his children and grandchildren? Ultimately, the inheritance that was given to them was a small field in which were some caves in which Abraham and Sarah were buried. He bought it, the cave of Machpelah, and that was their inheritance for that period of time. It wasn't until later, years later, hundreds of years later, that they received the entire land. So even the blessings that Abraham gave his physical children, from Isaac to Ishmael to those 6 other sons which are named there in Genesis chapter 24, was a very small token of blessing, a very small gift. But what about the blessings that we have? You see, the blessings that he gave his children were temporal. But the blessings that belong to the children of God through faith are eternal. You see, it talks about a true and lasting blessing that flows through Abraham to those who have faith, to they which be of faith. What's the condition for God's blessing according to this verse? Faith. The same faith that Abraham had. It doesn't matter if you're related to Abraham in the flesh, whether you are a child of Isaac or a child of Ishmael or any of those other 6 sons. What matters is that you share his faith. But then we also see the content of God's blessing. It says that those who believe are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're not just blessed by Abraham, like his children were. Or even in Abraham, as the Jews think they are. They think, well, I must be blessed because I'm a child of Abraham. No, Christians who share his faith are blessed with Abraham. What does that mean for us? What that means is all the spiritual blessings that were promised to Abraham belong to you if you have faith in his Savior, just like he did. All the spiritual blessings that were promised to Abraham belong to all who believe, even as Abraham believed. Just like John Gill wrote, and I put this on your message guide, he says, they, referring to believers in Christ, they are blessed with a justifying righteousness in Christ, just as he was, just as Abraham was. And you will be blessed with eternal life, even as Abraham is. You see, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, you have a greater relationship with Abraham than even those who can trace their lineage all the way back to him. In fact, it's even better because you share in the same blessings that God promised Abraham. And those blessings can be found only in the one Abraham believed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3, Paul writes this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So when a child sings that song, "Father Abraham had many sons," many sons had "Father Abraham, I am one of them and so are you," they can only say that if they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a greater claim than even a Jew because you have a greater faith. And that faith rests on the sure promises of God, and you're going to be blessed with Father Abraham. And when that takes place, all the blessings that Abraham received and were promised belong to you, belong to us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for how we see through Abraham that it's not about our nationality, it's not about our ancestry, it's not about our genealogy, it's not about anything after the flesh, certainly not after any of the works that we do, whether it's works of the law or things that we consider to be good toward others, that we are justified in your sight. But just like Abraham, who is the father of all who believe, it comes through faith in the promise of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see the great value and importance of faith in our life. And yet, Lord, we know that so often we are still weak in our faith. We see this in the life of the Galatians. They were so weak in faith. They were so led astray. So easily, so quickly, they were bewitched and deceived, to the point where, having begun in the Spirit, they thought that things could be perfected and finished through their flesh. Oh, Father, help us to see that everything in our Christian life must flow from a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, we know the weakness of our faith, and so with the disciples, we cry out to you, "Oh, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief." Help us to believe more strongly. Help us to walk more by faith and less by sight. Help us to see that faith in you is more changing and more cleansing, and it has a greater power and effect on our life than any man-made law ever could. And so, Father, we pray that you'll help us to see the value and the importance of faith today, even as we come to the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table here, because everything that we participate in reminds us and represents to us the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that even through this, you will increase our faith so that we can enjoy the great blessings and benefits that you offer to all who come to you by faith, even the blessings that we share with Abraham. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.